Sometimes the world flips upside down and turns inside out. Sometimes it's an earthquake in a prison that opens all the doors and everyone's set free upside down, inside out. Sometimes it's the last 2 weeks of school when your calendar just explodes and you don't know how you're going to get everything done. I can see who has kids in that phrase right now. Upside down, inside out. Sometimes it's big, a surprise call in the morning of a death in our community, upside down and inside out. And sometimes it's small. Sometimes it's in your daily prayer when you're following the liturgical calendar. This past week, we had a weird confluence of feast days because of our wackadoo calendar. Ascension Thursday was this past Thursday. That's always 40 days after Easter. It's the day that Jesus, the resurrected Christ, ascends into heaven, into the clouds, and leaves the disciples behind. It's still 10 days till the Pentecost, and they don't know quite what to do. Because Easter is a movable feast, it changes every year what day it is, whenever 40 days after whenever Easter happens to be. That's the Ascension. And then this year, 2 days later, we had the visitation of Mary to her cousin Elizabeth on May 31st. That is when Mary has discovered she is pregnant and she travels to visit her cousin and John the Baptist. Elizabeth is pregnant with John the Baptist, and John the Baptist recognizes Jesus in the womb, and they flip upside down, inside out. So we had the risen Christ ascending, and then 2 days later, we have Jesus in the womb. And then today in church, we're back at the Last Supper on Maundy Thursday. Jesus prays for his disciples at that Last Supper. This is what we've been getting for the past couple Sundays. It's been his instructions and his prayers and his wishes for his followers. It reminds me a little bit of the kind of prayer that happens when someone is praying on behalf of everyone else and they sort of know what's been happening in the room. I'll talk about this as a mama when your kids have been fighting and we're all sitting at the dinner table and you go, I pray that this family will remember the love we have for one another and that there may be peace in this evening. It's a true prayer. It's a prayer up to God, but it's also a lateral prayer. It's also a prayer out to the people. We do this in our worship every Sunday. The collects that we pray, it's the collected needs and desires and hopes and dreams and sufferings and needs, it's all of it together. And then someone prays it up to God and lateral out to hold us in. So let's see all that we have here. We have the end of the year. We have Jesus up in the clouds, Jesus in the womb, Jesus at the table, Jesus heading to death and resurrection, and we hold all of that, and then today we will go up to the communion rail where Jesus is in fact with us there in the flesh. It's a really strange sensation to consider all of that at once, all those states of being all at once. If you lean into it, the contradictions and the paradoxes and the time travel, your body is put into a upside down and inside out space. And honestly, I don't think my brain can do it. When I was reading the gospel out there, I actually for a moment went, did I accidentally go back and read a couple words? Like, no, it's upside down and inside out, this gospel today. I can't logic it. Jesus says that God the Father is in Jesus, and Jesus is in the Father, and we, you and me, and everyone who hears this prayer is in them collectively, God and Father, and we are all one together so that the world may believe in who and what Jesus is, because God so loves us individually, and us the whole world, that he sent Jesus, who is one with God, to us, who is also one with the Father, and thus Jesus. Perfectly clear. But if we lean into the spiritual practice of the upside down and the inside out, for me it hits in the daily prayer that I do in morning prayer, because those feast days come up wherever they come up. which means this week I prayed for Jesus ascending and for Jesus in the womb in 48 hours. But also if we lean into it in our lives, the steady tick, tick, tick of the work week and the school calendar, which sometimes gets completely discombobulated, but we still get up each day and go out in it. If we allow for the weirdness, allow for the feeling of unknowing, it becomes less frightening. It becomes familiar. And if each day we turn to God in it, our brains can't explain it. We can't make it neat and tidy, but somehow we're aware that God is bigger, that God is more than our brains can explain. It's more than the rules and the laws we understand. Our mortal world doesn't hold it. And I think what Jesus is telling his disciples at the Last Supper is that even though their world is about to be completely turned upside down and inside out, even though they will not understand when he is taken to die and does die, their Messiah, that even though they do not understand, it isn't a sign that God isn't with them, that it's in fact what being one with God feels like. And if they lean in when the resurrection comes, that won't be as frightening either. So earlier in this conversation Jesus is having with his disciples at the Last Supper that was told today in the Gospel of John and a few Sundays ago in our lectionary and at Maundy Thursday, all at the same time, we heard Jesus say this: "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." And today he says that this in a prayer to God, that by this the world will know that God loves them, by how we are one with God. Everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another. And the world will know that God loves them by how we are one with God. Same prayer, same dinner. So maybe what that can look like is this: the world will know that we are Jesus' disciples by how we love one another, even as our world is turned upside down and inside out. How we sit in the unexplainable truth that we are one with God. That feeling uncomfortable or unsettled isn't a sign that God has left us, that firmly remaining in relationship with those we encounter in some way influences how the whole world understands itself in relationship to God. No pressure, I guess. And thank you, I guess. Thank you because we encounter upside down, inside out sensations all the time. Thank you for the practice. In my work here at St. Stephen's this month, I'm preparing for a Soul Shop workshop we have coming up on June 20th. Soul Shop works with churches to create what they call soul-safe congregations, where you can talk about suicide, where people can share their stories, where you can notice people who are perhaps more likely to be in that space. In my preparation, I've been reading a lot about suicide, and I've realized that it frightens me. It makes me feel unsettled and insecure. It makes me feel upside down and inside out, especially now. Statistics show that suicidal ideation is up in this unsettled world we are in, inside out and upside down. People who are not grounded in one, in the one, in something bigger than themselves are feeling lost. And it seems too big. It seems too sad, too beyond anything that I can do to help. I learned that in a CDC report from 2022, statistics show that the suicide rate among males is 4 times higher than the suicide rate among females. Men make up about 80% of all suicides, and most attempts are men between the ages of 45 and 60. And I read that, and I was turned upside down and inside out. I felt dizzy. I mean, at a core level, I live in a house of men. My partner is male, my sons are male. I read that statistic and I thought of my churches where I serve, the men I love there. And I want to, I want to rush out and hold everyone close. I want to put my actual physical body between them and whatever mental illness this is. Upside down and inside out. And so I'm glad we're bringing in Soul Shop so I can learn to talk better about suicide than I am right now, and how to encounter it and make our community soul safe. I'm glad for knowledge, but mostly I'm glad for the opportunity to practice leaning in to supporting, leaning in to love, even when I am fearful and dizzy, even when I am turned upside down and inside out. And I'm glad of a lifetime of prayer in the calendar and a lifetime of feeling unsettled when I turn back to God, because when I feel that discomfort, it's not like touching a hot stove. It's not like a flinching away or something to be avoided. If you can recognize in the discomfort that sometimes it's bigger, the discomfort is because you're encountering something bigger than you. I know that God is one with me, and with that, it makes me uncomfortable, but I know it's God because it comes from love. Love for my boys, love for the men in my life, love for my community. I want them to know God's love. That's what I want when I want to put my physical body in between them and mental illness. I want them to know God's love, to feel their connectedness to the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And with our community of disciples who somehow are one with God too. Jesus said it today. Did you catch that in the gospel? He says, I am praying for these disciples with me and all who will hear these words. He was praying for us, now, today, and back then, all at the same time. I wonder if Jesus felt this way about his disciples, his friends, that he was about to leave after the Last Supper and later ascending into the clouds. I wonder if he looked at them and loved them, looked at them and knew their whole beings were about to be knocked off kilter. And I wonder if this is why he prayed, Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you've loved me may be in them, and I in them. I love them. I love them. And I wonder if in this time travel, upside down, inside out way, that we are one with God, if Jesus feels that way about us. And if Jesus asks us to make it known to the world that he feels that way about them. Amen.